This is the Deliberate Talks weekly podcast, powered by the Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures. Tune in every week to learn something new about digital marketing and entrepreneurship. And now, over to the voice of your host, Dakshin Adyantaya. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to an episode today, which is all about healing and an idea stemmed by a very heartfelt feeling. This is the Deliberate Talks podcast, and I'm your host, Dakshin Adyantaya, eager to talk to you about a beautiful journey of entrepreneurship with our guests, Dimple and Kishan. But before we get into our narratives with them, here are a few statistics about the healthcare industry behavior. Did you know 5% of Google searches are health-related today? Also, Accenture's study highlights that many patients are reluctant to type their personal health information or reason for appointment into an online form, and hence only 2.4% of healthcare appointments are scheduled online. And 94% of healthcare patients use online reviews to evaluate providers. And now it's time to invite our guests for today. So today, we have the co-founders of the oncology cancer care setup ZenOnco.io and NGO Love Heals Cancer. Here is Dimple Parmar and Kishan Shah. Hello, Dimple. Hello, Kishan. How are you both doing?
We are doing good, Dakshin. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Hey, hi, Dakshin. Glad to connect with you.
Thank you so much and welcome to the Deliberate Talks podcast. It's great to host both of you today. You know, I've been reading about your respective journeys and it's been a roller coaster ride and amazing to see how you both are helping people out. I want to slide into starting with Love Heals Cancer. And while a lot has already been documented about it, in a gist, how did it start and how has it led up till date?
Yeah, so Dakshin, Love Heals Cancer started after I lost my husband to cancer. And it's all started 4 years back when I was studying at IIM Calcutta, and one of my friends was diagnosed with cancer. His name was Nitesh, and he had colon cancer third stage at a very young age of 25. So while, you know, it was painful to see him going through the journey alone, I was helping him out of the compassion. And he was also an entrepreneur, so we both were going through the journey together. And we started with radiation chemo surgery, and the same journey we fell in love. And we thought that after 1 year, you know, everything will come to an end and we'll begin a new life together as a couple, like every couple would dream of. Mm-hmm. So I started working with a bank, and this same time I got the news that now it is stage four and he has only 6 months to live. So that was quite traumatic because we did the best possible treatment and took all the precautions, and also we were at a juncture where we were about to begin a new life, and I got to know from doctors that there might not be any life now. So that was a big shock. And I always, you know, believed in something else can be done, must exist in this world that can save him, help him, give him few extra months or years to life. And I did a lot of research, got to know about clinical trials, advanced treatment, radical remission survivors, and got in touch with them. And that gave me a ray of hope that still something can be done. So with that hope, I got married to Nitesh and took him to US for advanced treatment. And thousands of people supported us in this journey. So that really transformed us as well, that, you know, people are wonderful. Everything is beautiful. And, you know, the way everybody was supporting us. And unfortunately, for Nitesh, the disease was way too advanced and aggressive. So we lost him in March 2018, 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was the time when I decided to dedicate my life for this cause, to help other cancer patients, because what I felt that millions of patients are going through a similar journey where there's no hope, or we all get lost when we are diagnosed in this whole new world of cancer. Right. So to give them hope, to support them, I started the initiative called Love Heals Cancer to support cancer patients.
Oh, okay. And Kishan, how did you get into this picture and when did you be a part of this?
My journey started in 2018. Dimple, Nitesh and I were part of the same college, were friends from IIM Calcutta. So post that, I went for a job, was working at an investment banking firm, then switched to a private equity firm. And that was also the time when I started volunteering at Love Heals Cancer. Mm-hmm. And that made me come closer to the cause, because what I saw was that what we witnessed with Nitesh was something many people were going through on a daily basis. And Dimple was passionate and wanted to make a difference to lives of many patients. So we thought that let's think more around it. And I also wanted to be a deeper part of this entire cause itself.
Right.
That is how I was introduced to Lavi's Cancer, the journey, the mission, the vision.
Right. And how is Love Heals Cancer shaping up now? How has it transformed over the years?
So Love Heals Cancer, we began with a group of volunteers. We started helping patients near Tata Memorial, AIIMS, and other institutes where a lot of cancer patients come from across India for the treatment. Mm-hmm. So we started with hosting healing circles for them, giving them emotional and mental support, and also helping them with the basic necessities to live while they are taking the treatment, like food and grocery support, and also financial support and other basic necessities. Fear, and then Corona hit. So on one front, when our volunteer pool kept on growing, today we have more than 10,000 people we are directly in touch with who are actively want to help cancer patients and have gone through the journey, as deeply touched by it. And also after COVID, our on-ground activities reduced, but we are able to provide support through the virtual consultations, counselings, and also some drives like grocery distribution and all.
Right, right. Wow. Yeah. Wonderful. And this venture of Zen Onco, where did this idea stem from?
This majorly came in 2018, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
2018 was when we came together and wanted to do something deeper into this space. We were trying with Love Heals Cancer to achieve many things. 2019, we decided that many more people need assistance. Many more people need the support during this cancer journey.
Uh-huh.
And wanted to also expand our geographical reach, reach out to more patients, more people who want the support. And through that, in 2019, November is when we started Zen Onco.io.
Okay.
And the basic vision was that we run both these organizations in parallel together. They both support cancer patients, but in a different manner, different aspects of the life, different way of volunteer support that we get, and basically cater to everybody that needs support in this journey through both these organizations together.
Right. How are they different from each other as a model?
I would say both are very similar. In fact, same mission, save lives of cancer patients and make integrative oncology more accessible, more affordable to everybody. It's just that the way these operate are very different. So Love Heals Cancer is an NGO model where it's a Section 80G registered entity. It runs only on donations, backed by donations. There are many people who donate to the cause, to the NGO. And we use these donations to increase the number of counselings that we do, number of grocery distribution drives that we do, to provide financial aid to patients. That is the majority focus. And we focus on below poverty line patients majorly through Love Heals Cancer. Zen Onco.io is more of a startup in nature, where we are focusing a lot on leveraging technology, making the journey itself very simple for most patients. For example, educating them in terms of the treatment protocols which are available, getting them lots of years of scientific evidence and research accessible in a very seamless and quick manner at their fingertips. And being a startup, we are able to access more pockets. We are able to reach out to more people and also grow it in a more sustainable manner. So, which is where now both these organizations are supporting each other. Where Zen Onco.io supports Love Heals Cancer with the proceeds it is able to achieve, is able to receive. Similarly, Love Heals Cancer also provides counseling support to patients from Zen Onco.io. And with the same vision, same mission, we are able to achieve a lot more with these organizations running in parallel.
Right. And as entrepreneurs, how different are the roles for you both, right? Let's take Zen Onco, for example. What role does Dimple play? What role does Kishan play?
Yeah, so since we both work very close with each other, most of the work is, we do it together. But in terms of that, I primarily look after patient counseling, patient care, mm-hmm. and human resource management, and also community outreach and digital marketing, while Kishan primarily looks after technology and business development.
Oh, that's interesting. So that's diverse roles there. And how many lives have you impacted? Of course, you did mention 10,000 with respect to Love Heals Cancer. But when it comes to the entire thing, so 2018 to so far, you're saying more than 10,000 lives have been impacted, or Zen Onco has contributed even further?
No, I would say more than 150,000 lives have been impacted thus far.
Wow.
And the best thing is that 150,000 is a number that we are aware of. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, we have been able to create that ripple effect.
Right.
Where now people are helping more people. So that way it helps us in achieving more of what we want to do. Mm-hmm. Where we see the many volunteers, they are helping many patients on their own. And that way we're able to capture a lot greater share, a lot greater good karma. And I would say 150,000 plus is what we have recorded thus far. With Zen OncoRotayo, the new tools that we had launched, those tools themselves have touched around 30,000 lives.
Wow.
The Zyopar tool, the free report generation tool and all.
Right.
And apart from that, many counselor volunteers who are a part of Love Is Cancer, few counselors that we have on Zen OncoRotayo. So with this mixed approach, we are able to touch more lives and cater to the different needs as well. Where the weekly healing circle talks that we do, that is also something which is shared among the many patients that are going through the journey.
Right.
We have seen that the impact itself is that it inspires them, motivates them to give a stronger fight to the disease called cancer.
Right. And just educate us about cancer a bit, you know, at what stage is our healthcare infrastructure and are we like ready to cater to millions of cancer patients?
When we talk about cancer, the disease itself is very complicated and till date, there is no cure to this, unfortunately. Uh-huh. And when we talk about India, particularly when we see that, you know, patients get diagnosed in very late stage, so which is third and fourth stage, more than 70% patients are diagnosed in this stage where it's even more complicated and the survival chances are low. While in fact, if somebody gets diagnosed in the early stage, first or second, still there are more than 70% chances that they might get recurrence, which is the relapse of cancer within 2 to 3 years. So we can see that very high number of patients living with the late stage where the cost of treatment is very high. The chances of survival are low. People get lost in this whole new diagnosis world. And also accessibility and affordability becomes a concern. So when we see the entire cancer journey, we usually break this into three parts. The first part is the early screening, early detection and prevention. So not much focus is given currently in India today on the early detection. That is why the numbers are very poor, where more than 70% people get diagnosed in the late stage. And the second phase is that during the treatment, so if somebody is diagnosed, when we talk about during the treatment, the quality of life is very poor. We see many, sometimes misdiagnosed cases as well. And the cost of treatment is crazily high, which can be reduced easily.
Right.
So even during that phase, a lot of improvements and advancement needs to be done. When we talk about integrative cancer care, where, you know, while we have many avenues and institutes to avail medical treatment, it's in almost every city in tier one, tier two. And tier three, tier two, people come to metro cities, which is also very painful for them to do for 1 year, 2 years. So, well, medical treatment is there, but then that's not enough because we know that the relapse happens within 2 to 3 years. We know that every year, 8 to 9 lakhs people are dying with cancer instead of taking the treatment. So when you talk about integrative oncology, it's this is by Society of Integrative Oncology definition that it's finding the balance between medical treatment and complementary treatment together, which is clinically effective, because these two when done together helps in improving quality of life, managing the side effects for cancer patients and improving the chances of survival as well. So today we see that in India, when we talk about integrative oncology, no one is really focusing on that. And the reason why we started ZenOnco.io also was to focus on the integrative oncology because that has shown effectiveness in many patients. And also last year, American Society and Society of Integrative Oncology, ESCO and SIO both collaborated to, you know, give better chances or include integrative in the medical guidelines as well. So I see that advancement is happening on the West side, but when we see in India, it will take maybe a decade to do this. And third leg of this entire journey is palliative care. Palliative care is nothing but focusing on the quality of life for cancer patients. So when people go through the treatment, obviously treatment has many bad side effects because it kills your healthy cells as well.
Right.
So it's difficult to manage the side effects, and that's where some of the patients also give up because there are 20 kind of different side effects that people face. And if you don't have that strong willpower, if you're not able to manage it well, then the outcome might not be that great. So and we talk about palliative care, there are two aspects. One is the quality of life, and second we say is the hospice care. Hospice care is for the patients for whom doctors have told that you have, we have exhausted all the lines of treatment for you. And now nothing is left, our body can't take it. So please go home and let the nature takes its course. So during that time, the quality of life should be good because the patient is leaving this world in a few weeks or few months. But then not much focus is given on that. Pallium India from Kerala is doing amazing work in this in the Kerala region. But when you talk about rest of the India, no one is doing at that scale because when patients need, when caregivers need somebody the most, it's when they are dying, when they are into the last end of life stage. Right. And so that's another area where a lot of improvement and advancement needs to be done. So while, you know, in fact, in India, we see that oncologist versus patient ratio is also very poor, 2,000:1. So on every 2,000 patients, there is one doctor. Mm-hmm. But there are some doctors who are like really busy and there are some doctors still utilization is low. So it's all in the concentrated form. And that is why people who are into tier 2-3 areas, they find it very difficult to, you know, take treatment in a very accessible and affordable manner because of the high concentration is of doctors somewhere else. So one of the things what we are trying to do here at Zenon-Koro-Dio and Lovell's Cancer is also to make it more accessible and more affordable, at the same time improving quality of life.
Right. And what is the process for it? Like you did mention cancer is expensive, but how are you coming together to actually make it inexpensive for them?
Right. So here what we have seen is that the majorly three sources where a lot of money is spent. First is on the medical treatment itself, which includes surgery, includes chemotherapy, includes some sort of medical treatment.
Right.
Second is the diagnostic test itself. And third is the complementary treatment. What we have seen is that unfortunately, there is a lot of lack of information today, which is that, for example, patients are paying a lot on, say, even Ayurveda medicines, 40,000-50,000 each month. And while if you look at the effectiveness of the medicine that they are taking, they may or may not go with the medical treatment. Plus, the expenditure itself is high. So rather, what we are doing is that we are curating the right kind of specialists which are there on both medical and complementary front. Mm-hmm. So for example, now if you look at on the medical front, what we have seen is that many patients, they go and meet the wrong oncologist or the wrong doctor.
Right.
For example, if they met, say, Dr. A, who may not be an oncologist and they've been recommended a particular treatment, some of the patients may actually go for the treatment and get it done.
Mm.
And now treatment is irreversible. So that's a big loss in terms of financial nature as well, along with it also the mental harassment that happens.
Right.
Secondly, even within that, if you look at say chemotherapy, drugs are very expensive. While if you look at the margins involved, it's huge margin drugs. Mm. 70-80% is a margin that generally stockists keep. Again, a lot of relief can be passed on to patients if we can directly source medicines from the pharma company, from the distributor itself, which is what we are doing today. Mm. And these two are the major fronts on the medical front. Third is also on the surgery side, where we have seen that many patients, many doctors, they are happy to charge a bit lower if they can perform many surgeries together. Because that way, their also utilization increases. They can perform more surgeries in the same number of hours. So which is where we are helping patients to get surgeries at a very affordable cost as well.
Mm.
We are able to tackle these three major problems that are faced with drugs, pharma companies, with the surgery itself, and with meeting the right oncologist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
On the complementary front, which is basically complementary is everything that goes along with medical, we are curating partners who follow Society of Integrative Oncology protocols and research paper. So that many times if a treatment cannot be done with medical treatment, our experts directly refuse that as per science, you should wait for medical treatment to get over and then only start something.
Right.
So that way, their medical treatment is not being compromised. Their complementary treatment goes along with the medical treatment. Don't have to shelf out a lot of money also on that front.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And third, on the diagnostic test bit, what we have seen is that the infrastructure itself is limited. But still, there is a huge gap of where we can get, say, the PET scan done because maybe patient not aware of where it can happen or it's from lower tier city, which is directly in tie-up with the diagnostic labs itself. The benefit they get is that they have a better planning of how much resources that they need because they also have to procure the different consumables which are there. So their wastage reduces. And because their wastage reduces, they're able to give discount to our patients as well.
Right.
So these are the major three areas in which we are making treatment more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing I want to touch upon was chemo centers. So many medical oncologists today have their own chemo centers, many smaller clinics as well. So we are doing a quality check to see whether patients can take chemotherapy there or not. So you don't have to travel from, say, Pune to Mumbai or from Moradabad to different cities. Rather, you can take your chemo in this particular city itself at a reliable center. So this way, they're able to save a lot of cost on traveling, on lodging, on the higher cost of tier one metro city treatment itself. So that way, we feel these are the things we're doing on the accessibility and affordability front.
Okay. Wow. And commendable how you're coming together and helping out all these families and patients. But, you know, a more candid chat with you, Kishan, do you also come across unethical practices or corrupt practices from hospitals or, you know, people where, like you mentioned, right, there's no correct source of information or guidance for most of them who especially come from the tier two or tier three cities looking for better medication or facilities? But do you come across stories where there is unethical practices or people taken for a ride or, you know, those kind of stories as well?
Yes, it is. There's a very unfortunate thing that happens here, Dakshin. It's a very unfortunate thing. And I would rather put it two ways. One is unethical practices and second is lack of knowledge, lack of education.
Right.
And these both are equally harmful. Because the first is malaf ID, where a person has a wrong intention to do something. And which is what causes irreversible damage. For example, doing unnecessary drugs, doing unnecessary procedures, doing unnecessary protocols itself, which are not required or which cannot really help a patient. That puts a financial strain, that is one. Along with it, there's a lot of mental strain as well that the patient undergoes. Unfortunately, it is common and something we want to avoid. That is why educating the patient, we feel, is the best tool. Where if a patient understands of what can be done in their treatment protocol, they can meet the right doctor. Ultimately, it is the doctor that shall decide what treatment to do. But which doctor will decide itself is a very important question. And so helping that on that front, we feel that we're able to reduce a bit of these problems. We've also seen many patients who come to us, especially from lower tier cities, where they've been recommended different wrong protocol. And then when we get the treatment reports reviewed by our internal team of doctors, by other doctors that are we are in touch with, they mention that it's a very simple procedure that can actually save their life.
Okay.
So we should immediately get this particular protocol done, which is different. And here, maybe the doctor who recommended them in their city, he had a good intention, but lack of information, lack of knowledge, lack of experience in cancer specifically, which is another big problem that we are seeing. So both intentionally doing something wrong and even not intentionally, but due to lack of information, both of these are causing irreversible damage to patients, caregivers, and the entire family itself.
Right. Well, that's a large-scale problem, which I think only education can solve. Okay. And you know, just moving on to another aspect of it, where you said family members and the patients go through a lot of physical as well as mental trauma during the whole process of cancer. How does one heal mentally? Like it's the post-procedure, right? Most times it's the damage done and it takes a long time to recover. So how does one really heal mentally?
Right. Dakshin, your very important point you have touched upon, the mental and emotional wellness. And in cancer, what we see that patients, of course, they have many challenges. They are, you know, physically going through a treatment which is, you know, physically harmful and not able to manage it well. Mentally, emotionally, it's very tiring. And also, similarly for caregivers, it is more stressful, like the most stressful for caregivers. We see that patients are still able to take it. Well, they know that they have to go to it and whatever it is, they are taking it without much thinking about it. But caregivers are the one who plans everything for the patient. And they are the one who is running around everywhere, collecting a lot of information from everywhere, from the counselors, doctor, other institutes, NGOs, getting drugs at low cost or any other kind of support, like, you know, financial support or what to eat, what not to eat. There can be 100 kind of challenges or questions that may come up with. So caregiver is the one single person running around everywhere, trying to find answers and making, you know, like all the resources available. And also at the same time, they know that they have to be available for the patient all the time. So ultimately, they get burned out very quickly and they get exhausted completely from this. Few things that can definitely help them. And also what we have seen in my own journey as a caregiver and also working with other thousands of patients that they connect the most with other caregivers, other patients and survivors. So we have offered psychological counseling to many patients, but then they said that it was more effective when we actually consulted with another survivor, caregiver, patient of the same cancer type. Because then the other person has gone through the journey and then they can understand very well that it's okay to, you know, like a few decisions. If we do just, you know, a bit of difference, you don't have to be rigid or strict always with your lifestyle. And I understand you because I've also gone through the similar journey. And they're able to tell them of what might go wrong because they have gone through the journey already. They also have experience of talking to many other cancer patients. So we always connect them with the other survivors and patients or caregivers who have gone through the journey. And patients find it good because they are able to make that immediate connect without even, like, you know, knowing about them much. Or you know, in virtual world, it's difficult to make that instant connect. But then in this space, they are able to. So I think that that actually gives them some mental comfort that they are not alone and somebody who has gone through the similar journey with them. Also, some of the things which we always focus on is to caring for the caregivers, where we plan the entire journey for them. We tell them that you, when we get patients and caregivers on our platform, they come up with the challenges that they are facing. Some of the time they know what can be the solution, or most of the time they don't know what can be the probable solution to this. They think that it's cancer, so they have to suffer and struggle. While I did the same mistake, I struggled and suffered a lot. But today when I'm more aware about this disease and about this whole new world of cancer, I can say that the disease, the science and technology is advanced that yes, it's a complicated and messy disease, but we don't have to suffer. If we do the right things at the right time, many things can be done well. So this is what we guide caregivers also on, that, you know, we plan everything for you. If you need any resources, let's say be the informational content, which is more credible, most trustworthy, or it is scientific evidence-based information, or it's you want to connect with other survivors, you don't have to search for them. We will get it for you. Or, you know, what to eat, managing pain, and which doctor to go to, or some of the many questions which they always, you know, look for. So one is that always help caregivers that now they know, like, where to go, and everything will be backed by scientific facts, because there are many free opinions that floats around in cancer world. So people, well-wishers give different kind of opinions, but then unintentionally it might harm the patient. And that is why caregivers don't know what to do and where to, and always confused. So some of the mindful practices, like spending time for, you know, giving time to yourself, or doing some mindful exercise with the patient together, like maybe meditation or breathing or writing or walking or anything it can be. And also talking to people about it. Now, not everyone, but a few people who are very close to you and you connect with them a lot. So those can be the other cancer patients as well. So that platform is what we provide to bring everyone together in the ecosystem to connect with each other, to learn from each other and guide each other. In fact, recently we launched an app, Connect. So the Connect purpose is to bring together cancer patients, survivors, caregivers, experts, volunteers, everybody who is associated with the cause together on one platform, so that they are able to connect and take help and also give help to others.
Right. Wonderful. And tell me a little bit more about this Healing Circle Talks. How frequently do they happen? And how does it happen? Where does it happen? Is it only online? Is it offline? If a little bit more on that, if you could start.
Yeah, so Healing Circle, we started 3 years ago. And we started from a center in Mumbai. So after Corona, we started doing it virtually online, where every Saturday, 5 to 6 p.m., we host a circle, where it's kind of a safe space for all of us to share what we are going through or what we have gone through, and also some of the learnings, our own experiences, our own mistakes, or what might help others as well. So the idea is to create that safe space for everyone to share about their own experience and journey. So in this healing circle, the cancer patients, survivors, doctors, caregivers, and again, volunteers, they join the space. And usually we invite a speaker who has again gone through the journey and understand, associate with the cause. They will share their journey, and the other members will ask the questions about, you know, like if they have, or they will share their own experience on the similar lines what the speaker has shared. So that's how we host the circle. And it's been going really well, because it brings all of us very close to each other together, that though we are far away, people from other countries also join. So though we have never met, but still we are very close to each other, and, you know, able to make that connection. Because in cancer, what's going to work really well will be the community and the ripple effect. Because those who have gone through the journey, it has touched them very deeply. And they want to give back to society. They want to help other people. And the 10,000 numbers I was telling in the beginning, those are the, you can say, the motivators or patients, caregivers, survivors who want to give back or who are associated directly and actively helping other cancer patients. So with the ripple effect, it automatically grows. And we are just grateful that we are able to open the space for everyone to be able to share their experiences.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wonderful. And you know, another aspect of also what Zen Onco does is second opinions, right? During cancer, a second opinion is very crucial. In fact, one of the studies in US highlighted that many of the patients didn't get a second opinion because of pressure or the fact that they might offend the physician. But, you know, what is the situation in India? And considering Zen Onco has been offering the service of second opinion.
Mm-hmm. So second opinion is very important, very much needed, because we also see that sometimes, because in cancer, physicians, everybody has a different way of looking at the report. And humans can make errors. So second opinion on the pathological report is important so that you're able to, you know, like come to a final conclusion, and there's no doubt or query or if and buts that what if this is wrong. So people usually take 4 to 5 opinions before starting their treatment. And when it is fourth stage, then they take, in fact, 7 to 10 or more than that opinions as well, because the hope is less and doctors give certain percentage to their timelines. In fact, we have spoken with many oncologists as well about the same. And what we got from them that, you know, if somebody in their family gets diagnosed with cancer, even they will go for second opinion or nth opinion. So when it comes on their own family, when we know initially in the during the Lovell's cancer days, when we were also doing exploration with the oncologist, what we heard from them that about the integrative approach and also the second opinion, they said that if tomorrow I get diagnosed with cancer, I will not give my life in one doctor's hands. I will say, what all choices do I have? And also second, third, fourth opinion are very common among this. So yes, but at the same time, every doctor has different style of working, style of approaching this disease. So yeah, they do get offended at times, but not all. Sometimes they take it very positively and explain it to the patient very well that, okay, why the difference in opinion or what might go wrong or right if we take A or B approach. So, but then yes, you have to, you know, like tackle it from a very, it's a delicate situation to be in. So I remember when I was going to my doctor with different opinions that I was receiving, because I did a lot of research in this. So about the clinical trials and everything I was doing, and she was not receptive to it. So I used to do like for 1 month, I did a lot of research and then came to some conclusion that doctors, can we do this or this? And can you please sign it? I have to send it to US. But the response was very pathetic that I wanted to change my doctor. She was like, why are you wasting your time? He is anyway going to die. So these were the answers given to me. So unfortunately, this was my bad experience here with this doctor. But yeah, so it depends doctor to doctor as well. And patients will anyway go for the opinion without informing the doctor or with informing the doctor, but they will anyway do it. And that's what we educate patients on.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow. And before, you know, I get into this whole understanding what lovely work you both do, as entrepreneurs, you know, how difficult has your journey been with respect to setting up the entire business? What are the biggest challenges that you come across? And most importantly, how did you tackle all these?
Right. So I would say the entire entrepreneurship journey has been really amazing. Lots of ups and downs and obviously a long way to go still. So Dimple has been a prior entrepreneur herself, not her first startup. For me, it has been the first startup here, because earlier I was into banking and private equity, and now this is the startup world. So what I would say is that a very interesting journey. The biggest satisfaction that we get is that we are creating something that doesn't exist today. And that is also what adds the majority of the challenging part of it. Because what we have seen is that there are many innovations happening on the treatment side, on the diagnostic side, but the care aspect has been the same throughout. So which is where we are focusing on providing that ah effect to patients, to caregivers, to make their journey much more simple and simplify the entire process basically of treatment itself. So the journey has been great, lots of ups and downs, I would say. ups where we have launched new things to simplify the journey, like the Zyopa tool or community platform. Downs majorly because it is difficult to get like-minded people who want to work for the same cause, same vision. Because what we feel is that the company is nothing but a very strong team. So each member has to be aligned on the vision of the company, on what they want to achieve on a personal basis as well, and how they can achieve both together, which is where I would say is the biggest struggle in terms of getting the right people for the team to carry on the same vision that we share.
So journey has been very exciting, as Krishan said. You know, we begin with Love Heals Cancer, and then we together took this plunge to start Zenoncode.io. We started with only complementary treatment, and then we included medical also in this because patients started asking for it. And so in terms of the services also, it has evolved a lot as per, you know, like patient demands. We started adding more services, and also the nature of disease is such that everybody becomes your partners and friends. So be it doctors, hospitals, labs, pharma, patients, caregivers, people who have gone through the journey. And there are cancer is such a disease which has not, you know, like left any family behind. We see that today in every family or relative, one person has gone through it for sure. So then those people also come together and become a part of the community and the ecosystem. So that's why we feel more humbled and grateful that we are working for this cause. And we took the right decision to start this because this is need of the hour for them. When we were doing only Love Heals Cancer, some of the patients we were not able to cater to because it's a disease which requires personalized attention, personalized care, and in terms of the medical as well. Today we see precision medicines and many other advanced, more personalized at DNA, RNA level medicines are also coming in. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about the diet or emotional wellness, again, a very personalized approach needed. So we were not able to cater to all of those patients who needed that kind of guidance. And then that's why we started this. So today we see that we are able to do this for them and at the right time. And that's what, you know, like make us more proud of doing this. Mm-hmm. And we are fortunate to have a wonderful team with us who has been, who is equally motivated to drive the vision, what we have. So of course, in any startup, like we have initial few glitches, a few ups and downs. So good that, you know, one of the good part of me and Krishan working together is that we learn from mistakes or from surroundings very quickly and try not to repeat the same mistake or make some golden rules that, you know, okay, this is it. And no matter in what condition we are in the future, we are not going to bend the rules. So this is something which is really helping us a lot to have those golden rules after learning from our own mistakes and experiences. Corona has been unfortunately, this outside the situation was not good. Mm-hmm. But in terms of our entity, our services, we were able to expand a lot during this time and also able to reach out to more patients across India and outside as well. In terms of the collaborations also, it has been a blessing to us that we were able to do it quickly in a very short period of time. Sure. So it's fun, I'd say. It's fun, the experiments that we do every day and the culture and the ecosystem, what we are trying to do. And it's more enriching experience because of we are doing both entities together. So there's a factor of gratitude and also giving back to society, community, doing many events and also providing free services to patients. At the same time, how do we scale up and make it sustainable, keeping that in mind? So that's a quite, you know, sweet balance that we are trying to make here.
That's great. That's great. Wow. Wonderful. That concludes our first round of questions. And time to lighten up things and brighten up with a round of rapid fire questions. Some quick questions coming at both of you. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Each of you tell me which is your favorite story from Love Heals Cancer or Zenonco.
Yeah. So my favorite story is mostly stories revolves around patients only. Mm-hmm. So one of my patient whom doctor has given only 2 months to live. And it's been years now. She's with us and she's cancer free. So initially did not know her at all, but she's very close to me and also guiding a lot of her other patients as well. So I think I find that, you know, purpose and that happiness in the work that we do. That's been my favorite story, that, you know, when doctors say you that you have 2 months or 6 months to live, that's not the end. you need to take the control in your hand and do what is right for you. So, yeah.
My favorite story is the time when we went for an art therapy session where we visited Dharamshala and there were many kids who were battling cancer. But you know, the thing I noticed was that they all had a smile on their face and they were like, "Haan, cancer hi to hai. Bimari hai to theek ho jayega." So that gave me that ray of hope, that inspiration that if small kids who are undergoing very severe treatment, who have even lost their limbs because of the treatment itself, the cancer itself, they have such a positive attitude, such a bright smile. That gave me a lot of inspiration. I said, "Haan, yaar, kuch to karna hai yahan pe. We need to do something to make life better and spread these good stories around." So that is the story that comes to my mind.
Beautiful. Right. Okay. In midst of all these amazing things you both do, do you even have free time for yourself? And if yes, how do you spend it?
Not at all. So, you know, it has been very, I would say, back to back, you know, like racing for us, for both of us. And in fact, now we talk about funny stories. So I'll merge these two questions. So, you know, we were like, okay, Kishan, let's go somewhere because we have been working like nonstop.
Right.
Even a Sunday break from last 2 years. So last, in fact, sometime back, we went to Lonavala on a bike trip. Right. So that was really amazing experience for us. And we did the camping as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. So that was the first trip in 2 years, I would say. So we realized that, okay, we need to focus a lot more on the body itself, on the working out, exercise. But one trip, climbed up a small hill. That too, it was dark there and it started raining. So lots of oohs and ahs were there. And great, exciting journey.
Wow. Very adventurous.
We decided that we'll go each month, every Saturday. But then obviously after that trip, we were like,
yeah. So, I mean, they also, you know, every day we at least try to spend half an hour without work with each other. The evening walks really help us a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Lovely. Okay. What is the most sweetest thing someone has told you because of your work?
Okay, it's very difficult to answer this question because we receive lots of blessings day in, day out. And it really, again, as I said, sometimes it brings us to tears. So recently, somebody told me that and a person was from East India and lost a niece to cancer, a very young, beautiful girl, just 12, 13 year old. So though she passed away, but her uncle came and said that she passed away, but all the support that you provided, the guidance, and this person always calls me Dr. Dimple. So I told him, I'm not doctor, but like, no, you're a doctor for me. So yeah, so he came back and said that the journey was smooth and we were comfortable or knew what we are doing and all the support that you provided. So I'd say that, you know, in cancer, we usually focus on the process, not on the outcome, because we see that once the process is smooth, the outcome, we know what can be the outcome. And it may vary also people to people, but the process is what is more important. So in, for this person as well, we ensured that in the process, his journey is smooth. And whatever the drug support or other guidance that we are able to give, financial support and all. But what matters that he was okay with that, that he tried his best for his niece. And that was the, I'd say, a very touching moment for me. And there are many other patients who, you know, if they get better with that, if they find even slightest of difference in their health, for them, it's like life and death. So they find, they come back and say that, how can I contribute back? How can I guide other patients? And those patients become our counselors. So they always come back and say that, okay, if the person has passed away, the caregivers come back and say that, how can I help you in your mission? And if patient survives, then again, they come and say that, okay, you want to. So the you know, what the beauty of this work or the entire thing, what we do is that even the stranger becomes friend and they join this force that we have created to help the everyone around us. Yeah.
Yeah, the sweetest moment for me happened very recently. So I was in touch with a patient who then became a friend. And we started talking in July last year. And very recently gave me a call and said, "Ki Kishan, you know, my son is getting married. So there's a limitation on number of people I can invite. Only 50 people can be there in the wedding because of Corona. But I'll really like you to come and be there." So that was a moment that touched my heart, that being close to somebody, a complete stranger who then became a friend, And now so close that getting invited to his son's marriage, that was a very heartwarming moment for me.
Right. Wow. Okay. How can someone volunteer or join the community of Love Heals Cancer Rose and Onco?
Right. For volunteering, they can reach out to us on our number on the board line, like 9930709000. And the counselor will connect them to the right person who, depending on the type of interest that they have and which area they want to volunteer. And also they can write to care@zenonco.io. So that, you know, the right person can take it up and then talk about it, in which area they want to, what are the skills they want to contribute. And yeah, okay. In terms of community also, because what we see today that people need help, but by the time they get to know about the services that we provide, be it the community support or the counseling or the dietary support or anything, it becomes too late. So many times, you know, volunteer connect us with the or connect different patients to us. So if, you know, if somebody who knows somebody who is going through the journey, they can connect them to us. We will guide them through the entire journey. And also we have this project called Cancer Healing Stories, where we record conversations on cancer survivors, caregivers, patients, and expert talks. So where we invite them and share their own experiences. And it has been, we have heard from people that it inspires them a lot. Those who are recently diagnosed, going through the journey, they get an initial direction, what to do, where to go, and what might happen to me as well. So they take necessary precautions in the beginning itself. So if somebody knows any cancer patient or survivor who have been going through the journey or have gone through it, would love to make them a part of the community to, again, help each other and also record a conversation with them. Because these learnings are those learnings which are not easily available out there. So everybody, when they're diagnosed, wants to connect with other patients and survivors. But how do you do it? Is there any platform? No. So that's what we have been trying to create, to connect these dots and bring people closer to each other to guide them. So community app, it's available on the Play Store. Android app is already live, and the iOS will be live in some time, maybe a week or two. So otherwise, community website is there. So community app, the name is Connect, C-A-N-N-E-C-T. And the website link is community.zenonco.io.
Lovely. In alternate career lives, you know, if not entrepreneurs, what would your story be now?
Okay. In my case, I'm sure if not zenonco.io, then some other startup would have been there. Because I think since beginning, I had this entrepreneurial spirit. Even in college at IIM Calcutta, at NIT Jaipur as well, I used to participate in lots of projects on my own without even anybody telling me or asking me to do. So I made some robots as well back in college, and also when summer internship or summer break when people enjoy, I actually stayed back in college and was doing some experiments in the labs because I'm a chemical engineer. When I went to IMC, again, I had my own startup in women customized footwear e-commerce, and while I had to shut down while I was caregiving for Nitesh. And me and Kishan, we both participated in a lot of entrepreneur self projects as well, made presentations. I think, though I started my career with Bank of New York Mellon, but I would have eventually ended up in some startup only.
I think my answer is relatively simple. I might have continued with my old journey because I am more of a finance enthusiast here. Done everything, education, experience, everything into the finance field. And I never imagined that I'll be starting a startup because, you know, for me, it's like a finance job is much easier. It's easier to stay in, lots of money, everything, good comfort, right. Comfort zone, basically. Uh-huh. I might have stayed in my comfort zone, might have been a private equity investor. And instead of doing a startup, I might be investing into startups. So,
yeah,
that would have been the alternate career.
Okay. And finally, what's the next chapter in your entrepreneurial journeys?
I think we are still just in the beginning chapter of a long, long book. So need to write many more chapters here. Lots of transformation needed into cancer care, many other different diseases as well. In fact, where similar challenges, similar problems exist. Dimple and I, we both have decided that let's dedicate ourselves to cancer first. Solve the pressing issues that are there, create a model that can actually help many patients, not only in India, but even in different countries, and then move away even from cancer to cover different chronic diseases as well. Because once we have built a platform, once we have set things up, we can extend the benefit to a lot larger communities, which is where I would say that, first of all, making a very good, scalable, beneficial model of cancer care in India itself is the biggest need that we are focusing on. From there, we'll move on to different countries and different chronic diseases as well.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Okay, wonderful. Great answers there. Well done, both of you. It's now time to move into our last segment of the show. And this is where we take a question from one of our listeners. And this question is from Atharva Deshpande, who asks, with the aim to become a social entrepreneur, how does one draw a line between profits and empathy in the business of care? How can one sustain if they cannot think of revenues? And how can one care for people's primary concerns if profits are a part of business sustainable goals?
Right. I think that's very simple to answer. Because here, when you are running a business entity, a commercial enterprise, what you need to focus on is that keep social benefit as the primary aim, but along with it, scalability and sustainability. Because when we started Love Heals Cancer, just going by the example that we had witnessed ourselves, social impact was the first and only aim. But then when we included sustainability and scalability into it, we realized that we'll have to make it commercially running as well. Uh-huh. A self-sustaining platform so that we are able to make some money, we are able to put that money to grow further, to reach out to more people. So not be heavily dependent on donations, but rather create a model through which you can grow on your own and expand your social benefit, social impact as well. So I would say that the moment you bake in sustainability and scalability into the picture, just with the simple intention to touch more lives, you automatically start evaluating models that are both socially beneficial as well as commercially viable, so that you can look at those pockets where there are still inefficiencies, where you can improve lives of patients, improve lives of doctors, help everybody earn more money, save more money, and have some part of that money for yourself as well to grow further, to touch more lives. So the moment you start doing that, the line becomes much clearer into what you need to do and what you should avoid. And ultimately, whatever action you take, the three things are important to evaluate. What is the impact that is happening because of my action? Is my action sustainable at all? And is my action scalable? The moment it's a yes to all three, that decision makes sense. But the moment any of this is a no, you will have to reevaluate whether you're going in the right direction or not.
Wonderful. Wonderfully said there. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you so much, both of you, for being very candid about your journey and sharing those wonderful stories. I had a great time hosting you both, and I hope you had your share of good time too.
Yes, Akshen, it was great, in fact.
Great. Thank you so much. And I wish both of you a great journey filled with lots of love and success.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Akshen. Same to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. So how many lives are you changing or impacting every day with your work? If you have any question on today's episode, feel free to write to me at thedeliberatetalks@gmail.com or connect with me on the social media channels and the audio platforms. Join in next Monday for another episode with another guest. And until then, please take care of yourself. And don't forget to inspire and be inspired.